Well, today we continue our series called Kickstarter, and the purpose of the series is to help us to go deeper in our faith and to look at small steps that can make a big difference. Years ago, we had this series on being dripped on our daily devotion. It was a small step to make a big difference in our lives. This morning, I want to talk to you about a topic that I rarely talk about over my 16 years here. It's fasting. And I thought about, why don't I ever talk about fasting? And I thought, well, maybe one of the reasons is I love food. I love carbs. I mean, whenever I have a really, really bad day, I want to go home to comfort food. Have you ever had that? Go home to comfort food. And for me, this is my number one comfort food. It's this. It's roast beef, mashed potatoes with gravy, and corn out of the freezer. That's comfort food for me. And if I want to be honest with you this morning, I have really successfully navigated around fasting for most of my life. I did fasting a few times in college and a few other times I've done fasting. But over the last 10 years, I want to tell you, I became dedicated to fasting. I fast twice a year. I fast 12 hours before a blood test twice a year. And then one other time, occasionally every 5 years, I fast for a procedure for those maturing folks over 50. That's the extent of my fasting experiences. So I would invite you this morning to learn along with me as we turn to God's Word on fasting. We open God's Word. It's amazing to me, and maybe to you, that fasting is everywhere. Moses fasted, and then he received the Ten Commandments. Daniel fasted. Esther fasted. Nehemiah fasted. And they had these community fasts. And I was reading in the Bible about all of this fasting. And I have to tell you, I started to get hungry, and I started looking for that verse that says, "Taste and see, for the Lord is good." And I found it. But fasting gives us an opportunity to go deeper and to impact our lives. Have you ever tried fasting? Our junior high does fasting every year in their 30-hour famine, and they can maybe tell you stories about fasting. Now, I have to admit, I don't have a lot of experience of fasting, and so I found this great book by Jensen Franklin called Fasting. And can you guess what it's about? Yeah, fasting. And here's what he says. The focus of fasting is not what you take out, but what you take in. And that hit me. Because that's not what I normally think about when it comes to fasting. When it comes to fasting, I think about things that we take out, but a lot of times it gets imbalanced. And if we're not careful, we spend so much of our time thinking about what we take out more than what we take in. I mean, we talk about taking out sweets and caffeine and the things that maybe we depend on. Now, I have to admit, I can fast for a long time by taking out liver and onions and cooked spinach. I can do that pretty well. But instead, fasting is taking something out that cost us something, that means something to me and also means something to God. That we surrender things that are important. That we choose to surrender things that are meaningful to me. Something that we can do without. And so fasting, if we take some food away, our body will start craving something that is missing. And this craving is supposed to remind us to pray. Jensen Franklin says, "A fasting without prayer is a crash diet." And he goes on to say, it's not about what you take out, but what you take in. Interesting, last week we talked about Martin Luther King, and Martin Luther King said this: to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be a person without breathing. And I think prayer is the heartbeat of fasting. And we have this predicament that we're in, all of us are in. We gave our life to Jesus, and we were told that when we gave our life to Jesus, that we were made new, right? We are new creatures. But to be honest with you, our minds were not made new in that moment, were they? Our spirit was made new, but our flesh was not made new, and our mind was not made new. And we still have bad thoughts after we become a Christian. But saying yes to Jesus does this for us. That our spirit, we are told, is made perfect in Christ. And so here's what we have to understand this morning. Each one of us are a spirit. Each one of us have a soul. And each one of us live in a body, right? I mean, I am a spirit. That's who we are. You are a spirit. That's who you are. You have a soul. You live in a body. The story about Nicodemus, when he said about Nicodemus about needing to be born again, he says, I can't be born again. I can't get into my mother's womb again. He was struggling with this idea of being born of the Spirit, this perfected spirit. But our minds and our soul, which consists of our will and our emotion, there's this battle that takes place. And so it doesn't turn out so perfect at times. But the third aspect of this is our flesh. It is that our desires, that literally we are at war with our spirit and our flesh. And I have to tell you, I loved the cartoon or things years ago when they used to have this angel on one side and devil on the other. Do you remember that? And two people are speaking back and forth. There's this tension between the devil and the spirit and the angel doing different things. And I know we laughed about that at times, but as I thought about this week, I thought, well, there's some truth to that, isn't there? See, our spirit has been redeemed. That is who I am. But it is being held back by what I drive around in, our bodies. Now, all of us have different vehicles, right? In fact, this morning, if you look out in the parking lot, you will see many different vehicles. Whether they are brand new or older vehicles, one day, they will all, every one of them, will end up in the junkyard. And the same with the vehicles that we drive around in, our bodies. One day, they're temporary. It's not who we are or what we are, but many times it's what we drive around in. And I thought about this tension between the spirit and the flesh and who we are in Christ and what we drive around in, our vehicles, our bodies. And when we think about that back and forth, then we can sort of talk about this idea of fasting. In Romans 7, verse 18 to 25, it says this: as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law that is at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. And he goes on, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so Paul talks about this battle that's going on. And we have to decide. We have to decide who is going to control us. Is it going to be the spirit that lives inside of us that we have been redeemed? Or is it the vehicle that we're driving around in, the flesh, that makes decisions in our lives? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul also says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, the new has come, the old is gone, the new is here." So when we fast, it gives us an opportunity to say, "Hey, body, hey, vehicle that I'm driving around in, you don't get to decide." And so the things that we do and some of the things we eat or whatever, they're not necessarily sinful. No, food's good. But when we depend on certain things and we use food to self-medicate and we start fasting and we start saying, if we're going to fast, that we're saying, body, you are no longer in control. The spirit is what matters. And then we say, what I take in is more important than what we take out. And then also with fasting, one of the purposes of fasting is not getting God to pay attention to us, but us to pay attention to him. Now, I know that many people have fasted or done something or given up something during Lent. And when we do this, this is what we normally hear. Hey, guess what? I'm not doing this for Lent. I'm taking this out of my diet for Lent. And Lord, look what I've done. And God's probably up there and he's like, are you kidding me? He says, you think I don't know? You don't think I'm watching? God is already paying attention to us. He already has paying attention to our lives. But the issue is, and what fasting helps us to do, is that we, again, work on paying attention to him. So what does fasting do? Well, let me give you an example. Over the years, I have tried different diets. I know you can tell by this physical specimen. I have tried diets and different exercises. And I have to tell you, I lift weights, and I do different things. I do some cardio. But to be honest with you, I don't really like cardio. I just don't. I don't like it. And I was trying to figure out how to get better in shape. And so one time I borrowed this program called P90X, okay? And I'm like, I borrowed this person. I said, I can do this. And so what I did is I didn't want to do it in front of too many people. So when everyone's out of the house, I set up our living room and I pushed the couch back and I had my towel and my water bottle. And I'm like, and I turned on the TV and I put the CD in. I'm like, I'm ready. P90X, I gotcha. And we started with this first CD and we started going along and I'm like, oh, okay. And we kept going on sort of this power yoga thing or whatever. I don't know what was going on. I'm like, yoga, this is easy. Who can do this? And after about a minute or two, I'm starting going like, I start watching this thing. It's like, and the clock was going down, different minutes left. And I'm like, is this thing over yet? Is this over? And I kept going and going. And what I realized was this, that I tried to get through this CD. And my body was saying, no, Lynn, this is not going to work. You are not made for P90X. And I kept going, and I kept watching up at the screen. I wasn't even watching the instructor anymore, because all I was watching is how much more time is left in this. And then I remember, and the guy said, like, I am sweating, and I'm drinking his water bottle, and I'm like, shh. I made that, and the guy goes, well, now that we're warmed up. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Now that we're warmed up? And I was just, but I just was determined. I'm like, the person gave me this. I'm going to get to the end. And I did. I made it through that first workout. And that was my last workout of P90X. Because all I could do is watch to see, is this over yet? Is it over yet? Is it done? How many more minutes? How much more do I have to go? Now contrast that to something else that happened. This new gym opens up in the area. It's a gym that I've gone to for years, but then he built this new facility. And they brought this really cool thing they invented in this new facility. It's really amazing. Each person at each cardio station has their own TV. It's amazing. And so what tends to happen, I'm on this treadmill and I'm going along and I think I'm going to do it for about 15 minutes or so. And then I turn on the TV, I start watching the show. Now the show goes on for an hour. And what I realize is this, that as I'm going along on the treadmill and I'm going along, I'm watching the story, I'm watching the show, and the more I'm watching the show, the more I'm getting into it, and I'm getting into the story, I don't even realize that I'm on the treadmill. And next thing you know, it's been 1 hour I'm on the treadmill, and I get off, and I push the button, I'm like, oh man, I can't walk. I got wrapped up in the story. So let me tell you the difference here. Here's the difference. In the first part, I was focusing on how much I had to do, what I had to do to complete it, to get it done, to get through it, to just survive it. Where when I was in the new gym and I had the TV on, I was watching this show, I got so wrapped up in the story. I got so wrapped up in the story, I didn't even know how much time had gone by. And I think the same way when it comes to fasting. That we can say, oh, I'm going to fast for 7 days. And the first day, you're like, I'll never make it through here. And the second day, and you look, you say, you mean it's only day three? Are you kidding me? 3 days, I'm going to die. You see, there's two things we can do when it comes to fasting. One is we can worry about the clock, about how much time is left, or, and what we're taking out of our life. We're taking out of our life. Or we can get wrapped up into God's story that he's doing in the midst of our fast. There's a big difference there. A big difference. And so it's not what you take out, which everyone talks about. I rarely hear anyone talking about when it comes to fasting. I hear them in Lent and other things talking about what they took out. I very rarely hear what you have taken in. And every major biblical character fasted. In the Old Testament, then Jesus fasted, Peter fasted, Paul fasted. And there seems to be this rhythm of life. And if we're going to look at the best example of that, we look at the example of Jesus. And the Bible tells us before he did anything in his public ministry, the first thing he did was he was baptized by John the Baptist. And then before his public ministry in Matthew 4:1, the Bible tells us that he was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And what does Jesus do? He spends 40 days and 40 nights fasting. He was hungry. He was being tempted by the devil. It's not a sin to be tempted. And then this is what happened with Jesus. After those 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible tells us in Matthew 4 that this happens, that Jesus starts preaching. And then the next part is he calls his first disciples. He makes this decision about calling the first disciples, Peter and John and Andrew and so-and-so. Then the next part in Matthew 4 is Jesus heals the sick. See, what I think Jesus was showing us, we're centered on Christ, is this. That Jesus was so filled up with his relationship with his Father in heaven that when those temptations came and things came around him, he was filled up with God. And so there was no room for some of this temptation to live in his life. See, fasting prepares us to experience more of God. You can say, I'm fasting from this to experience this. See, the challenge here is we have Lent coming up here in a couple weeks. Is that maybe that's a time for us to say, I'm going to fast from this. And many times that becomes the period. I'm going to fast from this. Can I challenge each one of you to go a step further? To say, I'm going to fast from this to experience this. That changes things. That changes the dynamics. That changes it all about what I am doing. And it puts the focus back on what God can do in our own lives. And so the challenge this morning is to ask, Lord, what do you want me to set aside? Now see, I spent this whole time talking about food. And that was the main point in the Bible, because it was so near and dear to our hearts, and it was sometimes it became dependent on that, and we could not hear God. But let me branch this out just a bit. Because I think in the day and age that we live in, I'm as guilty as anyone. That sometimes the things that we need to fast is maybe our phones, our social media. Because you see what has happened? We have spent so much time on those areas of our lives. And it's for good things. And the phone is great for communicating. And it's great to text. And it's great to put on Facebook what's happening. And it's great to Snapchat people. These are all wonderful things that we connect with others. But what is missing? What is shortchanged in this day and age is this: that we have put a lot of the focus on ourselves instead of focusing on God. See, my hope and prayer is that fasting, though it doesn't mean that you have to fast and not have anything to eat and just drink a little bit of juice. That's not just fasting. Fasting can mean you just take certain things out of your diet. Fasting means that you put the phone down for this. Fasting means that social media will be this. There's all kinds of things. But if all we do, if all Lent is, if all fasting is what we have taken out, then we have missed the most important part. And that is, what are we going to take in? And so my challenge for you during this Lent season, or starting tomorrow or next week or the week after, it doesn't have to be Lent. That we can, instead of worrying about, I do 5 days, I do 7 days, I didn't eat any bread for 8 days, I didn't do any meat for this, I didn't do that. And what tends to happen is our minds become so saturated in what we have taken out and how proud we are of that. But I believe fasting is this. Fasting tells us that we need to focus on God's story and the intimate relationship we have with Him. Not what we take out, but what we replace. Let us pray. God, you are a God of invitation, not obligation. And so if people heard this as just an obligation, then we miss the mark. Lord, you don't push us or shove us or intimidate us, but you invite us in to experience more and more of who you are. Lord, I pray that this spiritual discipline, for many of us who have never tried it or have tried it in ways that maybe wasn't as honoring to you, that we can do something in this season, next week, next month, sometime, that we can kickstart our faith by going deeper. And Lord, I pray that that will be different. I know that will be different for each one here. It'll look different. But Lord, I pray that you would show each one what they need to set aside. And it won't be just liver and onions and cooked spinach, but something that is meaningful to them. Lord, I pray that we would just continue to trust in you. And as Jesus was the example of what it meant to fast before we made decisions, maybe, Lord, there's even for some of us temptation. Maybe due to a fast, that you have done something at the other side of that fast
that has transformed us and molded us and changed us in a way that we've never been changed before. Lord, I don't know what that may mean for each one here, but you do. And so I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would go out forth from this place, that we can put you at the center of our lives, and we can be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.